When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Best Show Best. This is the best of the best show, the new version of the best show. And for people who don't know, the best show takes place each and every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. till midnight over at thebestshow.net. And if you are new to the program, these are little bite-sized greatest hits samples of what we do every week. So check this out. And if you want more, you can listen to the full 3-hour extravaganza and check it out. And if you want to support The Best Show, the way to do that is to download the episodes and to give us reviews on iTunes, and to tell people that the show is back and that you like it. So please, check out this new episode of Best Show Best. I'm being told that the hotline has reached a new level of hotness with this guest that is on the line. No more low-class nobody's calling the show. This is an actual famous person. Do we have...
Let's not go crazy. I still think maybe mid-level famous would be fine for an intro. Mid-level famous.
Okay, we have a mid-level famous person.
Nice.
Who is the host of WTF,
mm-hmm,
and the star of his television show, Marin. What if nobody could get? What if there's somebody still saying like, I don't know who is it?
Well, you didn't say the best part on IFC.
On IFC,
that's when they're gonna say, oh, I don't get IFC.
Yeah, see? Just.
My father.
It's Mark Maron.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Was I interrupting your intro?
No.
My father said, "So you got a new season, huh? I guess I got to find someone with Netflix." My father said that. Got to find someone on Netflix when it's on that in a year. I'm not complaining, but I just want to make sure we understand. We all understand our position in the world. I'm in back of Largo right now. I'm outside, Tom.
Okay.
I'm outside Largo. I'm coming to you from the street. I'm on a show, Tom Papa's show. It's a variety show. I just rehearsed a sketch, a radio show style sketch,
mm-hmm,
with the other performers. One, here's who's on the show. All right. Kim Minchin, me, Melissa, she's an impressionist, I don't remember her name, Kirk Fox, and Dane Cook. Dane Cook's on the show, and right now, I'm touching Dane Cook's black Lamborghini. I'm now touching it as I'm talking to you, and listen, right now, I'm running my key along the side of Dane Cook's Lamborghini. So I don't want any of your listeners to tell, but fuck this guy, am I right?
Yeah, look, he's got a Lamborghini. He's fancy. He does 5-hour sets at the, right? What does he do? 5 hours? He goes like somebody's getting ready to go on, and then all of a sudden, hey, Dane's here. And it's like, well, I guess yeah. I should just go home now then.
Yeah, I used to hate that. I've seen that happen before. I don't go to that club. You know, I haven't seen him in a while, and I don't think I'm going to, you know, I don't know where. This car is like a Batmobile, dude. It's like, here's the funny thing about it is I'm walking across the street with my girl from dinner, and I see a black Lamborghini. There's an accident right out in front here. Black Lamborghini pulls up to the intersection, and out loud I went, gross. That's gross.
And it was him.
And I look in at Dane, and I'm like, oh, dude, you can park around back. Just park around back.
Yeah, you're just right gross. Yeah. No, look, I never understood. With cars, I've always just had a car that is just like, will it not break down, please? Can I
exactly
know that I exactly. won't be on the highway with steam pouring out of the hood and everybody looking at me as they drive past? Like, there's just...
Yeah, well, we can just walk two cars down, Tom, to my car. This is a... Let's have a look. Let's take a walk around. There's a 2006 Camry
mm-hmm.
with no extras. There's a hole in the front bumper that I don't even know how that happened. I don't know what you could hit that would cause a puncture wound to a bumper. Somehow or another, the light casings have now got a yellow tint on them from age. The entire side of the passenger side is scraped because I don't know how to park in my driveway. And on the back, it's dented so the trunk doesn't open properly because some woman hit me in a Mercedes SUV. I brought it to the insurance guy, and I don't know if I'm going to fix it. They sent me a check recently mm-hmm. for like $1,200 to fix it, and I don't think I'm going to fix it. I'm going to go old school and maybe lowball and get someone, you know, who can't really fix it well to fix it and save $600 and buy myself two pairs of pants.
Yeah, look, I get it. Because look, it's a 2006 car. At what point are you going to be just like, it's like, okay, you just get the thing back on the road. It's not yeah. like you're going to have the car forever at this point. You just get it back on the road and you run it into the ground a little bit and then you get rid of it.
Right, but the thing with these things, they never die, these Camrys, never. And my mother is, she's like, why don't you get a new car? And I'm like, why? This one runs and I don't have to worry about it. That's the thing, but you spend money on things, Tom, and you worry about them. If you don't spend money on them, who cares? You know what I mean? This thing will run forever. It stinks inside, but it's, I gotta be honest with you, I have been embarrassed at valet situations mm-hmm. When I go to a high-end event of some kind and I roll up in my water-spotted, what was once silver-gray, it's kind of faded into something horrible.
Yeah.
And that's when you really know why people get good cars, is when you're pulling it up at some awards dinner and, you know, you're behind three limos and Dane Cook's Lamborghini and you hand your keys to the valet who you just know by the look on his face that you're kindred spirits, yeah. but also he's judging you.
It's like a bad movie, like that. You're just like a. I don't know why. It's like a teen comedy or something, like where you pull up in the bomber of a car, and then
yes.
and then you just like everybody sees you getting into the thing, and you're just like the door's stuck. I can't.
Yeah.
It just, if you jiggle it, you can get just shake the key in the ignition, it'll turn. And you just.
And you go, right. And you go into the event, and for whatever reason, you come out after, and they haven't been able to park your car. And it's like been out front the entire time as people, well dressed people, just work around it and look at it as a relic from another time.
Yeah. And it would just have that one thing where it just kicks that one, like, boom! Like that one. That one kind of like exhaust kick as everybody's standing mm-hmm. around just for emphasis.
Yeah, right. Like, the guy gets in to park it and it starts like, you know, farting out liquid like the love bug when they gave, didn't they give like hot chocolate to the love bug or something? And it just started like farting out liquid. Yeah. I do appreciate the fact that you see my life as some sort of, you know, far down the line, very, you know, sad teen comedy like that. That's what I'm living in, is some sort of horrendously dark teen comedy that's cast only with adults.
But we
that's
all have life. Those moments where we have the thing that we don't, where we don't decide. It's like, oh, that's the thing I'm not going to spend. I'm not going to break the bank on that thing. So, but there's other things.
Well,
when it comes to a turntable, you take care of business with that, and you.
Oh, I was there today, dude. I was there. That's not going great. That I can't say. I can't put that in the good idea column. That's not in the plus column. Me and my equipment. Yeah. It's just been horrible. Yeah. I just resolved something today with that. Like,
I thought the one the funniest thing. I thought one of the funniest things is I went over your house, and you were. It was like some Twilight Zone thing where you would have been like, the only thing I want is if people would just send me records, and that would make me so happy. And then the records started showing up, and now you're like, because you go to your house, you're just like, you like this? What's this? I have three of these. You want one? Just like, it's good, but I have three of them. Take one. You're like,
and then I ask you, like, how about these guys? You ever heard of Jelly?
And you had like 70 records to go through, just like, okay, I have this guy apparently sent me everything he's ever put out. Okay, I have seven of his albums. Okay, just like you're getting entire discographies sent to you now.
Right, but then I ask you if you've ever heard of him, and you're like, no.
Yeah, like, no, I don't know. I have no idea who that is. Cause,
and if you don't know who it is, nobody knows who it is. But in my brain, I'm like, this might be the guy. This might be the gem. This might be the overlooked thing that, like, 20 years from now, people are going to be like, that guy only made three of those.
Yeah.
How'd you get them?
Yeah. And you gave it to someone who came by? You just gave it to him? Yeah. It's just like that. But that's the catch with that stuff is that that's the trap. You can never get out of that trap because it's like that what if. There's no escaping what if.
Yeah, but I'm trying not to do that, you know? I'm really trying, you know, not to do that. Like, I listen to everything I get at least once. I try to process it. Some things I don't get the first time, and those people are going to take the hit. That's going to be bartered material. Like I get records, I listen to them, I'll be like, I don't know if I need this on album. You know, I'll take the download card, and then I'm going to go use these to barter for other records.
Yeah, well, look, you can't be on the hook for everything that everybody sends you and that. Well, look, this is what I want to ask. When does your show starts this week? That's what. When does Marin starts when?
Thursday
on IFC.
Thursday night on IFC at, 9 and 10, something like that. And it was very funny. But here, let me just tell you, though.
Okay.
I was at the stereo place today because, like, I had that Rogue audio amp. I had problems with it, and Rogue Audio refused to admit that there was a problem with the amp, and I kept sending it back to Rogue. It was a nightmare, and all I wanted was to have this beautiful experience with this amp, and it just turned into this nightmare. So then, like, finally, and I don't know if this is on the, you know, plan of the high-end audio, I go for the big one. You know, I go for, well, not big, not $1 million, but I spent some money on a nice amplifier, the Macintosh stuff, and then that thing, if something goes wrong with that, it doesn't sound right. I'm going, like, it's just the bane of my existence. I went in there today with my new amp, and I said, give me the one that you have on display, because when you lent me that before, it sounded right, and I think there's something wrong with this, and if you can't find anything wrong with this, then you can keep it in the store, because I'm taking this one, because I know I'm happy with this. And I don't like you people. I don't like what you've done to me, and I'm not taking responsibility for it. I believed that these tubes would have the answer for me, and they did not. And I knew that was my biggest fear in life, that they would not, and I secretly knew they would not, but I feel a little better. I listened to Rod Stewart's second album on The Loner, and which I'm going to make my own, and it sounded terrific, you know. And then I listened to, what did someone just send me? I listened to Ellis Fitzgerald record, and I thought that was terrific. So today, everything is resolved stereo-wise. I just wanted to get that in because I knew people were concerned. So my show is starting on Thursday, and it's funny. This is the funniest season, and I'd be the first to tell you if it was just okay. But I think I finally got a groove going.
And what did you do? 10 episodes this year?
13.
13. They're piling up now. You're actually putting a body of work together episode wise with this.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a real. You've got a real run going here. Who's on this season who's exciting? Look, the exciting thing is that you're on it. That's the exciting thing. That's what gets you in the door. The other stuff is the window dressing. Is Andy Kindler on this season?
Andy Kindler will probably play my friend Andy again, reprising the role of Andy. Dave Anthony plays Dave, who's not exactly like Dave Anthony, though Andy Kindler is exactly like Andy Kindler. Dave Anthony's a little psychopathic. Whitney Cummings plays a pal for a couple of episodes.
Okay.
And who else? Oh, the first episode, Elliot Gould plays himself, and Alex Rocco plays another guy. I don't want to tip it too much.
Sure.
But Alex Rocco, who played Mo Green in The Godfather, plays an old agent, and he's brilliant. It's a very funny bit of business. Constance Zimmer is in the first one as well. A comics playing themselves this season. Maria Bamford, Marilyn Rice Cub, Patton Oswalt, Punk, CM Punk. Is that it? CM Punk?
CM Punk,
the wrestler.
Yeah.
The wrestler and Colt Cabana, they do an episode. And,
Do you ever wish with wrestling, you know, I know you never, I was not into wrestling when I was a kid, so I'm not into it now. And I know you
weren't. No, I was never into it, but I became friends with Colt Cabana because he started a podcast modeled after mine for the wrestling world. And we became friends, and he explained wrestling to me. And then he introduced me to Punk, and I became friends with Punk. And I sort of respect the show business element, but I don't know a lot about wrestling. But in one episode, CM Punk agrees to train me. And the comedy ensues, Tom. Can you just see it? Huh? Me being trained by guys in shape. Come on, that's never been done before. I'm breaking ground.
Are you in an ill-fitting onesie?
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
It's a snug onesie. A snug onesie. Tight. Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm in shorts and boxing gear. It's funny. It goes a different place. You know, I'm not gonna sell myself short. I think all the stories are very funny.
And you got funny people working on it. You got who's it? Jerry Stahl has written for the show.
Yeah, he was on staff this year. The great Dark Prince, Jerry Stahl, one of the narco wizards of the page, and a close friend of mine. He wrote this year. It was great having him. He's got a whole new relatively chipper disposition, and he laid out some good stories. Dave Anthony also wrote on the show. Michael Jam and Siebert Glarum, they were King of the Hill guys, and they did a few other things. They're the runners. Sean Russell was in the room.
Sean Russell, who I know. I know Sean Russell. I've known him for a long time.
He
loves you. He's a very nice guy. He's been very – he gave me a tour when he worked on one of the lots. He drove me around in a golf cart on the Gilmore Girls set, and I've never seen Gilmore Girls, so I'm sure
lucky you.
People were like, "You got the I'm just like, I don't know. It was like a house I think we looked at or something, and for other people who like worship the show would be like, "Did you see the boob?" It's like, I don't know. There was like a porch I think I saw, and
there's a couple rooms where they acted in. They acted in these rooms.
Yeah.
You know, one of them was like a restaurant. Is there a restaurant?
Yeah, I think there was like a cafe or something.
Yeah, a cafe.
Yeah.
And then the lady with the kid is, you know, rehearsing things.
Yeah, and I was just like, I didn't know what I was looking. I always like looking at sets, though. Like, that's one of my favorite things. It's just like the artifice of sets, I think, is one of the most fascinating things ever.
It's very exciting, you know. I find myself like I'm about to go on stage here at Largo, and you know, it's a theater, and like, you know, I've gone to like, you know, sometimes I don't really realize it as deeply as I should that I'm in show business, and there's no weirder moment than, you know, sort of waiting to go on stage and just being backstage and whatever weirdness is going on and just the kind of like working element of like if you go on stage like you're waiting at Letterman and you're just standing back there with Biff. You know, and you're like, so this is it. And then all of a sudden you're out in front of everything and it's in lights, camera, and it's showbiz. I get that feeling all the time. And with sets, it's the same thing. You're like, this is where we lie to people.
And for me, the things I get to work on, I always feel like happy. I've been working on something the last couple weeks, and it just like the first day I was so happy. I was just like, oh, I wasn't sweaty on the first day. Like I went in, I thought it'd be like, man, maybe there's one day of sweatiness and then I'll calm down. But it's like, ooh, even the first day I didn't sweat. And
Tom, that's a big day.
I was so proud of myself that I was sitting.
I think everyone's proud of you. No sweat day. You got to write that down.
I know
you
that.
Make note of that.
I was in the
room. But like Seth, yeah, it's so weird, though, with sitcom sets because, it's very strange, the banter, the kind of bullshit. Can I say that now on your show?
Well, we try not to curse, but for you, you're I'm going to let you do what you want to do.
I took liberty because I felt the freedom for a second. I was sort of like, Tom's running his own ship.
But we still
he's
run.
Out there, like,
we try to run a PG show is what we try to do here. If it happens, it happens, but I don't get twisted about it.
Get on the phone or have your producer say like, hey, feel free to push the envelope language wise. I think that's a good call because I think everybody who gets the freedom to do that, it's less impressive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you like Howard or even Bill Maher, when they were on Terrestrial or on, Comedy Central, you're like, well, there's a craft in having to honor, the code of television and radio.
Sure.
Like, and then, once you just get the freedom, there's no end to it. Before long, fluids are being discussed
and then it's just a matter of can you top this, and then there's just no going back ever again.
That's how morning radio was invented.
Exactly. And then when you hand the keys, when you hand that playbook to dummies, then you end up.
I was in Cleveland and I went to do a radio show and there were half naked people running around. And I'm like, what's going on? And one guy was excited and he was in his underwear. He says, we're about to shoot the puke cannon. And I'm like, this has got to be the end of things somehow.
That is like, I thought when that person died from drinking water that they made that one person, I thought it was like, well, that ends that horrible chapter in America that someone, two morning guys basically murdered someone for Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets. And so I thought it was like, well, yeah, that won't happen anymore. And then it's still just like, it's still, now it's like, people are just trying to figure ways around it now.
Dude, they worked on it for weeks. It was like a leaf blower that they had put a funnel on top of. And the idea was that one guy was going to drink a bunch of milk, vomit into the funnel, and it would shoot into another guy's face and mouth. And ultimately, I couldn't even imagine, what was the meeting that we're sort of like, we got it. This is it. And of course it didn't work, and it just sprayed, it exploded puke all over the ceiling of the studio. And I had to do an interview in a closet because the guy's like, sorry, the puke cannon didn't work.
Well, just
mind, just practically speaking, I think you would get the same effect in terms of how it's going to resonate with people if the guy just vomited right into the other guy's mouth. I don't know why you needed a machine. I think you should, stay organic with this stuff.
Yeah, cut out it's like John Henry, man versus machine. It's like, mm-hmm. Let's keep it simple here, guys. Like John Henry against the Iron Horse or whatever he was squared off against.
This machine serves no purpose in the practical world. Just let's stick with the vomit exchange. That's all we're looking for here.
Yeah, and as badly as I feel for you with that, I just think about the guy who's got to come in and play records from 10 to 2 and is just like, oh, these guys.
Are you talking about in the Time Machine studio?
Yeah, and he's just, yeah, there is.
I was playing. I love playing records. Did you go to the big record fair?
I did not get to go to this one. I have a lot of records, Mark, and there's a point where it's like I need to just enjoy some of these rather than getting more of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to enjoy. I forget. I just bought a third Like, I guess when the first signs that you're too much, you get too many, if you're in a record store and you're like, ooh, and you spend $30 on a record and you get home and you already have two of them. That's when you know you're not really enjoying your hobby anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And then you realize there's that point where you also realize it's like, wait, I can listen to this more than once, and it's not a race for me to listen to all of them one time. I can play one of them as long as I want until it wears out, rather than just
over and over again.
Because now it's like, okay, listen to that one, put it in a listen to pile. All right, what do we got? Just give me the next one. I'm going to start burning through these things. I got to get these things off my plate. Like it's a job all of a sudden. Like I can do this. Yeah. So you would have been so proud of me. You wouldn't believe all the records I listened to. It's like, wait, no, that wasn't you were not at work with that.
Right, but then you put one on and you're like, you ever get that thing where it's like, I really need to listen to this thoroughly because I haven't really processed this album yet. And then, like, you go outside, you go into the kitchen, you go into the back, and you realize you missed two songs. You're like, ah, damn it. You know, and then you got to put those songs back on. Like, you didn't do your job properly.
Yeah. Because it's this compulsion to just be like, I need to track every second of this. It's like, it used to be, it was just on, and then you walk in, you walk out, and, oh, yeah, that was good. I'll play it again. Because you only had 15 of them.
Right.
And it was like, don't worry. I'll play it again. I'm going to play this one 5,000 times. But now it's just this thing like, look, I need to hear this thing beginning to end so I can just check it off and put it in the listen to pile. And I can just say what I thought about it. And because of this other thing, if I don't weigh in on these other ones, it's really, I think
that
it's great.
That sounds like you're having it's a wonderful hobby for you.
Oh, it's very just life affirming when you're just like, well, this is awesome that I found a prison to be.
Yeah.
Like, oh wait, I'm running the prison and the prisoner. It's like,
and the prison walls are LPs.
Yeah,
just and shelves of LPs.
Yeah. Just being boxed in by a thing that it's like, oh no, but you love this is. It would be like if like it's like, no, these walls are things you love.
Yeah.
It's like So, well, so this week Thursday. IFC.
Right.
The show's Marin third season or fourth season? I can't even.
Third season.
Yes.
Third season did 13, and I can vouch for them. You know, I know the guy in charge, and they're funny.
Yeah, and you definitely the leap between the first season and the second season was considerable. I thought you guys got a lot, like you got your legs.
Well, you know, I knew going into it, I knew that there was going to be a learning curve. Like I'd seen enough of my peers, you know, do that first season, and you know we're clunky actors. We got to figure some stuff out. And I let myself have that. I knew there was no way that I was going to avoid that, and I knew that, you know, I was all in, and I was doing the best I could. But, like, I'm very happy that there was a nice jump in quality on all levels in the second season. And this one, I think we're actually having a good time. I mean, don't tell everybody, but I had a pretty good time.
Good. You deserve to have a good time, Mark Maron.
Thanks, Tom.
So when do you go on at Largo? What is...
Well, Kirk Fox just drove up in his old Honda. We're kind of on the same page with that. I think I got to do a sketch out of the gate. What time is it? We're probably starting now. I'm going to go in.
Okay.
Are you good?
I am good. Thank you for checking in. I appreciate it. And
let's do it more often. I think. I think we have nice conversations.
I love talking to you.
I know we have a nice time. I love talking to you. I get some good laughs, and you know, I like listening to you. And I'm happy that you've got the show up and going. I was thrilled about the box set that I still have to. You know, upload into my, like, I have a lot of listening to do with the old stuff. And, you know, I'm going to get caught up with Tom Sharpling, and I'm going to come to you with a review of the box.
Okay.
In a couple weeks.
I would love that. Well, thank you, Mark. Look, you have a great night. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay, buddy. Bye.
Take care. Bye. You got Mark Maron checking. How about that? What do you think of that, Mike? Yeah. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to Best Show Best. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes. I want to thank Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, John Worster, of course, and you. And once again, listen to The Best Show live each and every Tuesday night on your computer at thebestshow.net. Thanks so much. Bye.